Do you like playing face characters? And what I mean by that is the voice of the party, that high charisma, typically reserved for the role of a bard, a sorcerer, or maybe a rogue, and enjoy the interactions that you can get with the party. If so, have you ever considered a different class, like potentially a ranger? And if you're wondering what the heck that means, then stick around and let's go over it. Welcome back to the Game Masters Academy. This is the show where we strive to help you make every one of your sessions great. Thank you for joining me. My name is Greg. I just was sitting here and, you know, I put out the poll a little while ago asking about character builds and stat blocks and things along those lines. And I guess I just want to preface this with, I am not trying to copy D4. I love that channel, and I love Colby and the way that he builds things, and he has some really creative ways to come up with stuff. But at the same time, with how D&D is, there's not really a right or a wrong way to build characters. And so I wanted to show a little bit about the way that I built a face that is a little unorthodox. And that actually tends to be the way that I enjoy playing characters the most. You know, a warforged that is first level of a fighter with a bunch of levels of wizard and is a really high armor class wizard is something that I really enjoy the idea of, just because it's not the typical thing that everybody plays. That is beside the point. We're going to look at today is a ranger who I would think, and I would say, personally, in my opinion, would be right up at the very top of some of the best social interaction, class, race, background combinations that you could possibly create. Some things that jump out to me immediately are things like Eloquence Bard, potentially Sorcerer or Rogues that have high-level charisma, specifically like the Swashbuckler, things along those lines. But I think that this particular one, as a ranger, not only falls into this role exceptionally well, but also doubles into being a ranger. So you've got high hit dice, you have access to ranger spells, you have access to better armor, you have access to a lot of things that you would normally have to go and basically a la carte shop with other classes to gain proficiency in or access to. So before we get into the build, I did want to just ask that you guys like, subscribe, follow, comment, all the fun stuff that we're always talking about. Obviously, everything you do is greatly appreciated, and it is really the way that lets me know what type of content to continue on. And so I just wanted to let you all know I appreciate you being here, and even if you're just watching, then you know I appreciate that just as much as well. One of the things that, if you're savvy with the game and you've played it a lot, when you play a ranger, you don't really get access to a bunch of these charisma-based skills that we are specifically talking about here. And so we've got to do a little bit of, I don't want to say shopping around, but we've got to do a little bit of looking to figure out a way that we can gain access to these skills that is not completely tied to your class. So the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to look at playing a race. Specifically, I want to play a changeling. A couple reasons, but the biggest reason is going to be access to the special ability called Changeling Instincts, which gives us the opportunity to take two of either deception, insight, intimidation, performance, or persuasion. And of those two, I'm sorry, of those five, the two that we're going to take is going to be intimidation and performance, and we'll gain the access to the others as we go. Next, we want to look at a background, and I think that charlatan actually ends up working the best for this. It also kind of fits the idea of what you would be as a changeling, but you're going to gain proficiency in deception and sleight of hand, tool proficiencies in disguise kit, forgery kit, and then you gain the false identity feature for the background, which basically just gives you a alternate ego that you can play as, that you don't, you can say I'm a such and such person from this city And then you would have the papers and identification required to be able to prove that that's actually who you are. And again, with this particular type of character, I prefer a hide-in-plain-sight type of infiltrator. I prefer playing a character that's a little bit more of a nuanced, as opposed to just sitting in the shadows and hiding. I'm going to just try and walk straight up to people and introduce myself as someone other than who I am and get my infiltration into these, you know, high-security areas that way. For class, just like I've already stated, going for Ranger. As far as skills are concerned, through Ranger, I'm going to grab Perception, Insight, and Stealth. Again, the Ranger doesn't have a ton of these charisma-based skills to really create the idea that we are a face. And so we're going to utilize Perception, Insight, and Stealth, which are more along the lines of what you'd expect with a Ranger, and have those be the access point that we get for Perception, the most used skill in the game, and then obviously the other two to just kind of help us with maneuvering, things along those lines. As we take our Deft Explore from Tasha's, then we're also going to grab Canny for Deception. And so that'll give us expertise in our ability to, well, deceive. Ability scores here, I'm going to take the option where I can get +1 to 3 different abilities. I'm going to be looking at putting my Wisdom and Charisma at 15, my Dexterity at 13, and my Constitution at 12. By +1 would go into Dexterity, Wisdom, and Charisma. Obviously, Constitution at 12 is a little bit low for a Ranger or for a frontline type of fighter. But again, we're not really going to fall into that role with this. We're looking at really playing into this idea of being the face and being the voice for the party. So that's everything for level 1. And then at level 2, we gain a bunch of additional things for a Ranger. The first one is a fighting style, and I would take Druidic Focus for that. I want to utilize this high wisdom and try to make my character as single ability score dependent as possible. And so the Druidic Warrior helps me do that by a couple things. First and foremost, I'm going to grab Shillelagh, and I'm also going to grab Produce Flame. Shillelagh allows us to basically enchant a walking stick and then attack with wisdom. And then Produce Flame is just a ranged way that we can utilize our higher wisdom to be able to attack. And again, we're going to be bumping wisdom as much as we can and not dexterity. Our dexterity is pretty much going to be maxed out with the 14 that we got it at on character creation. So that gives us those two cantrips that we're then able to utilize. And then also at level 2, we gain access to spells. And for this particular class, I am going to want to grab Zephyr Strike. Obviously, with the lower constitution, the opportunity to not only gain advantage on my Shillelagh attacks, but also then be able to disengage without opportunity attacks is just too good of a survivability, considering that is going to be a little bit of a weaker point for this particular class. At level 3, we get to select our Ranger archetype. And for this one, if you didn't figure it out already, we're going to go with a Fey Wanderer. And that's going to give us a couple of different things right off the bat. The very first is going to be Dreadful Strikes, which basically does an additional D4 on weapon attacks. And it's going to... the wording's a little bit weird. You can't do that D4 more than once to a creature in a turn. But just like the rogue and the sneak attack, the wording here is intentional. And so what that basically means is that if I have multi-attack, which we'll get to, then I'm able to attack two different creatures and apply Dreadful Strikes to both of them. Also at this level, we gain access to Charm Person, which is a great opportunity for social interactions, as well as a couple other spells as we level up through the Fey Wanderer magic list. And the last thing that we're going to get is Otherworldly Glamour. Otherworldly glamour is what really allows this character to come into its own here. And so what it says is your fey qualities give you a supernatural charm. As a result, whenever you make a charisma check, you gain a bonus to the check equal to your wisdom modifier, minimum of +1. In addition, you gain proficiency in one of the following skills of your choice: deception, performance, or persuasion. Now, so far, the only skill that we don't have access to is going to be persuasion, so that's the one that we're going to pick here. But this is where this really sets this subclass apart as a face. And the reasoning behind that is we just basically gained expertise, or the equivalence of that, on all of our charisma checks. So we took +1s into wisdom and into charisma to give us a 16 in both of them. And so we have a +3 for both modifiers. So if I go to roll persuasion, which I now have proficiency in, at level 3, I gain +2 for proficiency. Then I gain +3 for my charisma, as well as +3 for my wisdom, for a total of +8. And not only that, but we also have canny in deception, which would give us expertise. And so I'm looking at a +10 in deception, a +8 in intimidation, performance, and persuasion. So I have put, we've basically built this to the point where now all of those face skills have the equivalence of expertise, which is obviously more than what a rogue would have access to at level 3, as well as the idea that we've given one skill, deception, this extra bonus level of expertise, super expertise. I don't know what we want to call it, but we're going to be rolling a +10 at level 3 on our deception checks. At level 3, we also get an additional spell. I think, again, trying to utilize these spells to shore up some of the weaknesses to this particular class is, or this particular character, I think is a great idea. And so I would recommend grabbing something like Absorb Elements. So in case you get stuck, you get hit with something, obviously you have a little bit lower hit points than a typical ranger. And so you can utilize the spell to help mitigate some of that damage that's coming in.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
Next would be level 4. We're going to go Ranger again and hit 4th level of Ranger to give us an ability score improvement. And we're going to put 2 points into Wisdom. So we're attacking with our Wisdom. And then all of these face skills that we have, persuasion, intimidation, deception, all of those are going to gain bonuses based on our wisdom as well as our charisma. So we're doing what we can to make this a single ability score dependent class or character. When we hit level 4, we can take an additional spell. And for this particular one, I like the idea of fog cloud, although I'm probably not going to hold on to it for a super long time because there's a couple of second level spells that I want to get to as fast as I possibly can once I hit level 5. But the idea of fog cloud, because that allows us to shapeshift as the changeling without really being like required to go find a hidden corner where no one can see us. And I think that that gives us a lot more flexibility with exactly how we want to do it. Not only that, but the idea that you could, you know, potentially commit a crime or, you know, do something, infiltrate, get caught, whatever. As you start to run, create a fog cloud, shapeshift into somebody else. And then if you have something as simple as a shift weave where you can change your clothes as well, you can basically turn into a completely different person and then drop concentration on fog cloud. And again, it's that idea where we're hiding in plain sight because the guard or whatever that's chasing you is trying to find you. They see you. And most of the time as a DM, I'm going to require that a character plays or I should say rolls a deception check to basically act as though they are not who that guard's chasing. Well, we just made it so our deception at level 4 is going to be given a plus 11 to hit. So again, it's got expertise from Canny, so 2 and 2 is 4. We've got another 4 that we're going to gain from just our wisdom modifier, and then 3 from our charisma modifier. And so we're sitting at level 4 with a plus 11 to that deception check to do that. And so you're going to have a very hard time. I mean, if you roll terribly, which will solve that potential issue here shortly. But if we roll bad, it's pretty much the only way that you're going to fail most of your deception checks, especially at this low level. Most of the time as a GM, I am not looking at like, you know, hey, you have to roll an 18 deception to make this work for a level 4 character. And so we've really started to come into our own on the idea of this particular character. And then at level 5, we gain multi-attack. I shouldn't say multi-attack. We gain extra attack, which is just allows us to attack twice per turn. And that does work with our Shillelagh. So we would basically cast Shillelagh as a bonus action on our first round of combat. And then you get the opportunity to go in and attack, extra attack. And then on the second round of combat, you can utilize Zephyr Strike for some additional damage, as well as some additional ease of movement to maneuver the battlefield, so that way you can avoid as much of the potential hazards as possible. Because again, we don't want to play the way that this is set up. We don't want to be playing this character as a frontline fighter. We want to be playing this as more of your backline. You can either skirmish, bouncing in and out with Zephyr Strike to avoid opportunity attacks. You can use Produce Flame to make ranged attacks with our wisdom. But this is not, again, with our starting equipment, which I'd completely skipped. But the idea there is scale mail, shield, and a walking stick or a quarterstaff. And then we gain the opportunity there to have a decent AC, and we can mitigate our hit point total utilizing our spells and our maneuverability within the combat. So now that we have extra attack, the other thing that we get is second level spells. And so the thing that we want to make sure that we grab for second level spells is going to be enhance ability, for the obvious reasons. And then because we're level 5, our proficiency bonus has gone up by 1. So we're now at proficiency bonus of plus 3. Which means that our deception is now sitting at expertise for 6, plus 4 from our wisdom for 10, plus 3 from our charisma for 13. So we're sitting at a plus 13 on our deception rolls. And if we utilize our enhance ability to do a charisma, we also have advantage on that. Now, the idea behind an eloquence bard with their, basically, they have advantage on their charisma-based skills, but the second dice is always a 10. I'm not going to try and say one's better than the other, but what I will say is that when you are playing this, at level 5, I've got plus 13 to all of my deception rolls, and then I have a plus 10 to all of the other charisma-based skill checks. So intimidation, persuasion, and performance. And I still have a plus 7 to things like perception, insight, you know, those wisdom-based skills that we took when we did our character creation. And so you've got this character that, as low as level 5, has the opportunity to be rolling a 33 on a deception check and a 30 on any of the other face skills. And so you've got this ability now to really socially interact with pretty much anything already. And as you level, we're going to continue to bump our wisdom, because our attacks are based off of that as well, which is going to bump our skills. And then once we've gotten that as high as we want it, which would be at 20, we're going to potentially look at maybe bumping charisma or starting to work on our constitution to really shore up the weaknesses that this particular build has. And that's obviously going to be the hit point total that we're looking at there. If we continue with Fey Wanderer, there are a ton of exceptionally cool abilities that they get. Specifically at level 7, they gain the opportunity to basically turn a past charm or fear. So basically, if charm or fear goes out, then the creature passes their save. They're able to make somebody else have to roll to pass against charm or fear. And it allows you to be basically throwing fear around. And there's a great synergy with an undead warlock multi-class dip, where just one level of undead warlock allows you to gain a form of dread, which then allows you to put fear on every one of your... I shouldn't say everyone. Allows you to put a fear on every turn. And if that then succeeds, if the creature succeeds on that DC, then you get to apply the fear again, as long as it's to a different creature, at your higher wisdom-based DC for the Fey Wanderer Ranger. So, like I said, there's a lot of really fun ways. I always enjoy the concept of hiding in plain sight more than hiding in the shadows. I enjoy both, but I just enjoy the idea of this individual being able to be right in front of the person that's looking for them and them having no idea that that's something that's going on. You can wheedle your way out of a lot of different conversations and get yourself access to a lot of different places, utilizing the shape-shifting ability from the changeling, coupled with your deception, which is absurdly high, that you then gain access to. It goes to be, you know, without saying, you could also basically start with a level of rogue if you really truly wanted to. I don't know that I would do that. That's kind of not the idea that I'm looking for. You wouldn't be able to utilize your sneak attack, things along those lines. But you could start there to get two more points of expertise that you could put on things. And just that means that at level 6, just from the extra expertise, you could have a plus 13 to persuasion, intimidation, and deception. Which, again, by itself, that's just completely crazy. There's obviously other things that you could do from this point here. You know, we're kind of looking at level 5. We've already kind of gotten to the point where our build is, I don't want to say complete, but we've established, we've gotten everything we needed. And so at level 5, if you wanted to go a full 7 levels into Samurai, you could technically, if you went full all the way in for that, you could potentially gain an additional bonus to your charisma checks equal to your wisdom modifier. That sounds a little crazy, but again, at that point, you're level 12, and instead of having a 13 to your deception, you would be looking at having, oh geez, you'd have 4 and 4 is 8, plus 4 and 4 is 8 is 16, plus your charisma, you know, you'd be sitting with a plus 19 to your deception if you were to go that route, which is, you know, in and of itself, completely crazy. I feel like I did the math wrong on that, but I think you get the idea. So the great part about this is, again, I love playing classes that you would not typically think of. No one thinks I'm going to play a ranger and be the face for the party. That's, those two things typically don't connect and go together very well. But I love that with Tasha's, they've added in this Fey Wanderer to give you extra options to do things that are a little bit more unorthodox. I hope that you have a great rest of your week. Take a look at playing a Fey Wanderer, utilize the abilities and maximize their potential to become the face of the party. And as always, let's let the dice decide.